A lot of rocks. There were rocks everywhere, and even in the farmlands, they were just filled with rocks. And, you know, one of the things I wonder about is, who would want to live here? It's just hard. It's a hard place to live. And it seemed like a lot of things were a little bit more black and white, a lot more contrast. You had to decide one way or the other. Things were just kind of plain. The kids had a great time. Like Bob said, they were always up front with Ellen, running around, trying to be first everywhere, looking around for ancient pottery. But they were very attentive to Ellen, the teachings, which was very good. I was impressed by that, and I was thankful that the kids had a good time and were in an environment that they could learn and see things that they could connect. And one of the things I noticed was, along with all the rocks, is there were, especially in the north, they were all fairly sharp and jagged and good for building on. But once we came close to Jerusalem, we stopped by the river where David picked up a rock, a river rock, and how a small, smooth rock, weathered with all the trials and tribulations, could be used by God. And I figured, you know, that's something that I gotta live with and learn to get my sharp edges down and go through the trials to be used by God. And that trip blessed me and my family, and I was very thankful to go.
Well, like Jerry shared, we had a fabulous time. When we first arrived, trying to get over some of the jet lag was a little hard for me. I had a hard time sleeping. And as we saw the land, I really enjoyed it. But I kept wondering when I was really going to feel it. And as we were heading up to Jerusalem, just the drive up there, I started bawling. And I'm going, okay, what's all this about? And the minute we hit where we could overlook the temple and everything, I was shaking uncontrollably. And Jerry just looked at me and he goes, "Welcome home, babe." And I lost it. That was really special to me. And the people, I felt, for me personally, a connection, because I could be Jewish in the Jewish country. It was where I really felt me, a part of me I'd never really felt anywhere else. And with the kids, I felt we were so safe. I mean, we lost Anna in a museum, and I thought, I'll catch up with her when we do. And we did. Where here, if she'd been lost in anywhere, I would have been freaking out. We let Josh walk up and down Ben Yehuda Street for a couple hours by himself. Never gave it a second thought. So the safety there, if anybody's concerned about what they see on the news, we didn't go to those areas. And the areas we did were safer than your own backyard. So it was neat to be able to go. It was, like Bob was saying, we're not rich by any stretch. But boy, did we shop. So Josh, you want to share something?
Yeah, I was never really jet lagged though, because I'm like always jet lagged, so. Being there was like just being home. It was like nothing, like it was new, but it was just like comfortable there. Didn't feel like awkward, just walk around. Sometimes people just come up to me speaking in Hebrew and I'll just be like, yeah. And it was good, flowing with milk and honey. Yeah, it was pretty good just walking around Ben Yehuda Street by myself. Yeah. Eating New York-style pizza. Watching some guy evangelize. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I got to play ping pong a lot. Still undefeated. Just the sights were just amazing, and kind of pressed that I had to come back home, but it's good to be back at least. That's about it.
All right, we told people that they would have opportunity to share. They don't have to, but if you want to, you may. Doris, would you like to share anything? she really did good.
It wasn't all rocks. I wish I could express to you the feelings that I had when I went and that I have now. I just can't. It's Anne said to me this morning, you can tell, it's all in your face. There were so many wonderful, special things that occurred while I was there. When I went, I didn't have any jet lag either going back, but boy, have I had since I came home. I have had the dysentery since I've been back for like 5 days. So something affected me, and it was not just the wonderful food and the different things that we had. I think the most impressive part of the trip that I had was at the Sea of Galilee. When I first saw the sun coming up, I knew that there was something special about Israel that God had provided for it for so many centuries. And I was so happy to be there. I think the most impressive part to me was when we were baptized in the River Jordan that is part of the Sea of Galilee, the widest part, which is the Sea of Galilee. And it meant so much to me because it was the first time that I had felt that way in probably over 50 years. And there were just so many things I wish I could tell you. I think that the video you saw it all. What I want to say to you is that this is really hard for me because I lost my camera with all of the pictures that I had taken that I thought would be special to me. When I got on the plane, I left my Bible and all of my notes on the plane. I've never lost anything in my life. If you saw my garage and my storage unit, you'd know I've never thrown or lost anything. And I seem to have lost it all. There were other things. But I know I left a lot of my heart there. The one thing I want to tell you is that because I'm past the age of 75, that it was more expensive for me to go than anyone else because I was the only one that had to pay extra for insurance. But I kept up with Anna all the way, except for a few going down where they had to come up was the only time. But I can tell you that no matter what, save your money, even if it's a little part every time and go. If I had never done anything except have the part of Galilee that I had, it was all worth it. Every dime that it took me to get there, it was just all worth it. If you could be part of that, and I don't care how many times you have been immersed, is that take that opportunity to do it, because at that time, as I said when I gave somewhat of a testimonial when we were in Jerusalem, is that the people were so special. I wish I could tell you that a 39 other people there, every one of them just left a special place in my heart. But the part of being baptized and the words that Bob said to me at that time will just always be here. And I want to encourage you to go, go, go.
Hey. Actually, Doris, about your lost pictures, I have a solution for you. The next trip departs April 22nd, 07. You can get them again. Actually, I'll give you a copy of all mine, okay? And the DVD, too. Oh, John, looks like he wants to share something, okay?
I want to echo the last part of what Doris said. Go, go, go. How many of you are readers, students, followers of this word? Well, I should have seen all the hands, but that's okay. How many have not been to the land? Shame on you. But you got a chance. Bob just told you when your next opportunity is. So many things for me became more alive from these words, being in the land and seeing the places where these things take place, seeing the places where the disciples, Yeshua and all of them walked, seeing all of the locations that we read about oh so often. Many times in my own mind, and I'm sure you've done the same, you've imagined, you tried to see this, you tried to picture what you're reading and put yourself there. You haven't done it justice. Until you see it, until you walk it, you just haven't experienced the Word of God the way you need to. Everybody needs to have gone at least once and experienced for themselves. I encourage you, like Doris did, go, go, go. As for my experience at En Gedi with the rescue of the ibex, Ron's got it right. Once is not enough, but at least once. You have to experience it once to know that you need to be there. You need to go. I encourage you, like Dora said, if you have to save a little by little and go, you need to go. Do you have something? Okay. You get your own mic.
Hello, family.
It's on.
Yeah. Thank you for your prayers. This is going to be very short. Like the video, part one, part two, coming part three. For me, this is Israel trip, part two. First time I went last year, as I said, why am I doing this? I mean, I could be remodeling a room in my house. And my Dodi, my beloved, had to work, and he couldn't go. And he sent me on. It was an experience that I'm just now realizing from that first year why I was there. When I got back this year, I was saying, Why was I there? I was 8 months from having surgery. I walked the tip off my cane. And the Lord answered me, put the vision, a visual in my mind, that while I was there and I was walking and I'm going, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this without you. You have to help me. I can't do this. And then in my mind, I saw Yeshua in the garden praying, having to do what he came to do, but knowing that he needed the Father's help to get through it. And that was the visual that was shown to me, that without the Father's help, although there are difficult things that we have to do, we can't do it without him. And then come to part two, Israel. I'm a little more excited now because my Dodi, my beloved, will be able to go. And I was thinking, okay, I've been there, so why not just let him go by himself and experience this? I can stay home, remodel my house, and decided, you know, this would be great, the two of us. And so as we got there, I'm wondering, Abba, why am I here now? I understood now about the first time. I need you in all circumstances to help me through difficult moments. I'm getting better, but lo and behold, I'm here on the second trip a year after my second surgery. So what's the connection here? What's going on? So I'm climbing mountains, I'm looking at rocks, and yes, there are rocks and gravel, and once again saying, Abba, I don't know, I can't make it without you. What's going on? Why am I here? I'm walking where you walked. I'm sitting where you sat. I'm hearing your words. I'm seeing you talking and speaking to your followers and your disciples. And they didn't have a comfort of a bus. It was hot, but they persevered because they wanted to hear what you had to say to them. And so as I was walking and sweating and looking down at rocks to make sure I didn't stumble or fall, the Lord brought to my mind perseverance. You're here to learn perseverance. Through all the circumstances in your life, through all the bad times in your life, through all the storm clouds in your life, the sun still shines behind all of that. We are to persevere. We are to know that we can't make it on our own. We need each other, but mostly and more importantly, we need Abba to help us through this. Thank you.
Luann?
Go, go, go.
As you can see, we had a lot of fun people. We really did. It was a neat group of people.
First of all, I'd like to thank God and Paul for the privilege of letting me go to this wonderful place. The sense that I had that overwhelmed me being there was a sense of peace. I was excited to be there, but this peace I felt, and I couldn't decide whether it was in my head, if it was psychological, or if it was a real peace. I didn't realize until after I got home the first night, 3 a.m, struggling with jet lag, that I feel God showed me that it is a real peace. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we have a peace that goes beyond understanding within the trials of everyday life and the spiritual warfare that we're faced with. There's still an underlying peace that we have. And I felt that with this land of God's, this special land. He has chosen it, set it apart to be a holy place. And His presence is there more than any other place in this world, the same as it is with us. And in spite of Israel's troubles that she deals with every day in this world and the warfare that goes on there, there is a real peace because His presence is there. And it's not just in my head. It is a reality. And that's why we're drawn there. I was also shown, it's funny, as believers, we're also redeemed with Yeshua's death and resurrection. And we are waiting the second redemption for our bodies to be restored, our physical to be restored. And in Israel, with her new life and the life going on in Israel, she has a new life. And she is waiting for the second redemption. Physically, she's been restored. She's waiting for her soul to be restored, for her people to be restored at Yeshua's second redemption, when he comes again. And it's just been a privilege to be there. Go, go, go.
Joe, you want to say anything?
I don't know what it is about Israel, but especially Jerusalem. You can see what it does to me. The minute I saw it on the DVD, and the tears just come. There's a, maybe it's kind of part of what Yeshua was feeling when he wept over Jerusalem. I don't know, but every time we go, it's like Kathy was saying, you start to go up to Jerusalem, and you just are overwhelmed with a feeling. I don't know what it is, but the tears just come, and I think it's because they don't know their Messiah, and that's something that we pray about every time we're there, especially at the wall. When you see the people there so sincerely praying and seeking God, whatever they're doing, and reading the scriptures and saying the prayers, they're sincere about it. And so only God can open their eyes and show them his Messiah. And so it's a wonderful thing to go and pray for them while you're in the land. I know there's something special about being there and doing that. And God will show you people that you feel you should pray for, you know. And I don't know, I just love it there. You got to go there.
Did I miss anybody?
Been greatly enriched.
Right. Susan, you want to share anything?
I wasn't going to share, but I will share because Joe reminded me of something, that this was our 28th trip. And when we went up to Jerusalem, I was fine at first. And it just hit me. And I just stood and I just wept. And I think it's a combination of the reality of all that has transpired over that city over the thousands of years, and knowing those things, and the knowledge of, like Joe, what Joe shared was the fact that the hearts of the people there that need to know their Messiah, and then of course what's going to happen there, and if you put all that together, it's overwhelming as you overlook the city. So that really spoke to me. But there was something special this trip, which we had not seen a few things in Jordan. We had gone over. We've seen Petra a number of times. But we had not seen the city of Jorash, which is one of the 10 cities of the Decapolis. And, of course, the word says that Yeshua went to the 10 cities of the Decapolis. And as we went into the ruins, there are 10 times better than Beth Shan, for those of you that have been before. And, I mean, they just are enormous. But we walked into this one, I don't know what you call it. It's a big plaza, I guess you would call it. And all the stones are original. It's just huge. It's a semicircle. And there's about 65 enormous columns around. And we got the teachings of the capitals. And of course, the guide, he's telling about the capitals, and he's giving the dates. And in my mind, I'm figuring the dates. Well, that's when Yeshua was here. And then he's talking about all the others, the theater and the capital, beautiful capitals. And of course, that was after Yeshua's time. And just the reality, as I'm standing in this plaza, that Yeshua had walked into that plaza and seen the same pillars, the same capitals that I was looking at was an amazing experience for me, just as a lot of the sites in Israel where Yeshua had walked and talked and taught. And so it was an incredible trip. And the answered prayer, I want to thank you all that prayed so diligently, because we've led a lot of trips, and you see all the different things. And you have two congregations and six people from the East Coast coming together, and that's very difficult usually. And it just blended together that people actually forgot where they were from. We were all one, and it was an amazing thing. So